come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is the correspondent.
Hey, Solution, how are you, bud?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Oh, yeah, been a bit of an average weekend, but, you know, we'll discuss more.
Yes, we will. And with us is Christina. How are you?
I am good, all things considered.
Exactly. Now, the Windsock 2000 is supposedly joining us, but I do fear that when he had his Charette settings worked on by the architect, that's why we haven't had the Windsock 2000 for a few weeks. He's been in the workshop. I think his time management nodes might have taken a hit. So we'll see if he joins us. We'll see if he joins us.
So did he need a full reboot, or is just a?
Yeah, I don't know what he needs. It's a bit like a golf. It's, you know how when you get play golf. This is my experience of golf is I'll be putting well one day, then another day my iron's good, another day I'm good off the tee, but never all at once.
Yeah.
That's a Windsock 2000.
Yeah, fair.
All right, now, before we get to the shitty game, and this will be a relatively brief podcast today, because we've had so much content in the last week and a bit, we've given the people what they want. But I want to talk about umpiring. Now, what I hasten to say is I'm not going to talk about umpiring in the context of our game, or at least the result. Certainly don't want to suggest that the final result was influenced by the umpiring. But I saw some of the Collingwood game today, and I'm seeing with more regularity, we expected bad umpiring, because now we've got four umpires instead of three, so there's 25% more shit on the field, more room for interpretations looking at the one bit of play. But this is the bit I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about how umpires seem to jump and piggyback on a team. 2 weeks ago, it was us against Carlton. We had absolutely had the run of play. And I still remember back in the, back when I was a kid watching cricket with my dad, and we'd be watching these one-day games, and my dad would say, oh, I'm not watching this anymore. The game's rigged. And I used to say to my dad, you're an idiot. Of course it's not rigged. And then 20 years later, I had to call him up and apologise when all the Hansi Cronier and Mohammad Azharuddin stuff came out. I seriously reckon there's room for questioning some of these results. Am I tinfoil hat? What the fuck is going on? Okay, monologue over to you.
Mate, quickly, you know I'm on the same page as you, and I don't want to bang on about it, but it drives me fucking mad. You're right, the game against Carlton was our turn, and I did see a bit of the Pies game today, and, you know, all the instances where they say the umpire's decision doesn't matter or it all evens out, going, no, momentum swings, it just does my head in. And you're right about the four umpires. I've said it from day one. You know, as you said, 25% more different interpretation. I don't know. It's, yeah, I'm over it. Over it.
I think it really comes from the top down, from AFL House. It just, there's so many nuances with the rules. It must be, like, incredibly hard to umpire. But it's got to have they've got to have really clear leadership from the AFL about what they expect from the umpiring. And I don't, you know, there isn't even a head of football at the moment.
Well, it hasn't been since Brad Scott left, that's right.
Exactly. So there's probably no clear management of the umpiring or what they're doing. It's kind of just all over the place, really, and the AFL really got to get their act together.
Look, I agree with all of that, but it doesn't explain why one team... That's what I'm trying to riddle here. Why is it that one team gets the run of play for the entire game and it, as to your point, correspondent, influences results?
Yeah. You know, I think we know, you know, we know the home ground kind of voice of affirmation. So there's a bit of that, right? But the Carlton Essendon game, it was their home game, but admittedly there was a lot of us there. I'd like to see the stats. Well, there isn't a stat, but if you went through where that occurs, where it's either a home team, like today, Collingwood v Adelaide, obviously here, it doesn't solve your riddle, but I think there's a few nuances around it. But again, as Matt, as we've been saying for a long time, we've got to get rid of, and to Christina's point, part of the issue is the over-complicated rules. Get rid of some of the freaking rules. Make their job a bit easier, right? But that doesn't answer your question, so it can't help you.
You can't speak to an umpire, but you kind of need to speak to an umpire to go, well, what's it actually like? What's the situation you're dealing with week in, week out? Are you being told, focus on these rules, not these rules for this week? Or is it not like that at all, and it's different for every single game? Like,
they always claim there isn't a rule of the week.
My ass.
And we know they send out some updates during the week. You know, look at pushing the back, for the last couple of years, they've just totally ignored it because they claim every single player just, you know, drops their knees and falls forward, right? And so they just don't pay it. Now they've started...
Joe Danaher. Sorry, I had a bit of a cough there.
You know, they've started paying it a couple of times. And yeah, players have got smarter about... But, you know, they've just decided... And kicking in danger. You know, what's his name? Breaks his arm in two places.
Yep.
No free kick. And yet there's umpires. You would have seen today there's an umpire standing 5 metres from the contest right in front, you know, between the camera and the play. We see what happens and the umpire's like, play on.
Yep. All right. Well, the last word I want to have on this is there is an account called Has the Umpire Made... What is it? Has the umpire made a correct decision?
Yeah, that guy comes across as a flog, to be honest.
Well, this is what I want to ask you. Has the account titled Has the Umpire Made a Correct Decision got an agenda? I think he does. I think he's very, very pro-umpire, and I don't know why people give that account credence.
So, yeah, I had a quick squeeze last night and clearly highlighting the non-Jake Stringer mark. 99 times out of 100, that is paid a mark, right?
Of course it is.
And where was it? Top of the goal square?
Yep.
And I know you don't want to go into it, and the non-50 metre penalty to Peter Wright. That is 50 metres every day, and that's two goals.
Yeah. And the throw that was paid to Stringer when he actually handballed it.
Yeah.
In the forward 50.
Yeah. Oh my god! All right.
We didn't lose the game for that reason. We lost the game because the entire team, bar about two or three, just performed subpar right across the board.
Yeah, agree. But okay, so what I should have said at the start. So a lot of feedback that people like the old structure from the old OG podcast. So I'll put an intro on top of this. I do have a song of the week, which we'll get to a bit later, but we are going to go Herd Henneman, Douche and Deity. So, correspondent, you have the Herd and Henneman.
Okay.
I suspect the Henneman is a lot harder than the Herd.
Yeah.
I think. It's a Melbourne Cup field for the Henneman.
What do you want? So, some quick nominations for a Herd?
Yeah.
In short, Andy McGrath, maybe Jakey Stringer had a good crack. Nick Martin, Ben Hobbs, that'll do.
Nick Martin was uncharacteristically sloppy, though.
He was. He still got a fair bit of the pill. I mean, again, there weren't a lot of outstanding players. But if you want me to give, do you want me to give you the Herd, my Herd?
Yeah, go.
I'll give it to Andy McGrath.
I thought Jordan Ridley was actually really good.
Yeah, Ridley, he was good as well. I just thought McGrath just kept having a crack across all four quarters.
I agree with that.
There wasn't, as you guys know, there was a bit of dysfunction across the halfback line. So he was doing a power of mopping up because Heppel and Kelly didn't have great nights.
No. And the back line was busy, which does highlight why we're talking about Ridley and McGrath.
And what do you want? You want Hennemans?
Well, I tell you, can I just say one thing? And this is the question about, is the bye hangover a real thing? In the top five tacklers on the field, not one Essendon player. Top five tacklers on the field. We looked sloppy. We made errors. We were slow. So I do wonder if that hangover has any credence or not.
Oh, I think most teams coming off the bye lost, right, over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We looked slow and lethargic. We kicked the first two goals. I think all of us thought, okay, that's good. A little bit up and about. And then nothing.
Yeah. I think some people have said they felt they got the mix wrong. Like, especially in the midfield, they were too attacking. So, you know, someone like we don't have Setterfield, so we need someone like Corbell and Perkins to pick up the defensive effort, because that's pretty much where we lost the game. Just we lost centre clearances. And I think Fremantle scored, gosh, I don't know how many, like 13 or 15 goals from centre clearances, and we scored two.
Yeah, I think the numbers were pretty similar in terms of clearances.
Everything's similar.
Yeah, all the stats were pretty similar. But you're right. We ran a completely different troop through the middle. As in, I know we had Stringer and Merritt, but we didn't. Perkins was not through the middle at all. So it's a stark contrast to 2 weeks ago against Carlton.
Yeah.
I think we messed up with Kelly coming back for his first game in 5 weeks. That mix didn't look right in the back line, and equally. No surprise, Peter Wright, you know, second game in. Wiedemann, I don't think Wiedemann's working.
He's got absolutely no confidence whatsoever in himself and his ability. Just, you know, he missed a goal or a mark or something, his head dropped down and Frio were already kicking the ball out and he completely missed the opportunity to make a tackle.
And I think, as we've also mentioned, or people are aware, the forward line, you know, the lack of small forward pressure. So a whole lot of things we've done well over the last month or 6 weeks, just we were just miles away.
They didn't get on the plane, all those things.
No. And, you know, even Kyle Langford, you know, he had a quiet game. I think with
well, keep going. Do you want to just move into the Hennemann and keep talking
about it? You know, Wiedemann, Wright, Langford, you could name basically the whole forward line. Now, there's an argument that whether or not the ball got there that much, but as we just said earlier, the stats tell us that, you know, the ball did get forward. They did a great defensive job on Wright. But I'm giving the Hennemann to Wiedemann. I mean, he just...
Oh, another one.
Yeah, he's racking them up. I mean, he's going back to his Melbourne form.
Yeah. I mean, he could have had Peter Wright. I'll tell you what, Nick Bryan looked so far off the pace.
I don't know what the problem is with Bryan. I mean, I think he was always going to play. As soon as Draper wasn't in, there's no way they were going to run Phillips as one out. But they keep talking him up as dominating, you know, one level below, but it just doesn't seem to go near it.
History's littered with players who were really good. A level down,
that level down, I'd argue, is there's a much bigger gap between the two levels than there were a number of years ago, I reckon.
Oh yeah, did you see the team we put out today in the VFL?
Mate, I did. I tweeted that we had 14 listed players in that team, and we got pumped by Port Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched a bit of it, and it was a classic case of. Almost those 14 playing individual games, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Did you, yeah. Christine, did you have any alternative Hennemann for you?
No, I think you have to go with that. You know, even though we're not huge fans of Snelling, there are moments where, you know, he did some great pressure work.
He did, yeah.
On the ball to try and get, you know, turnovers happening our way. So, yeah, I think Wiedemann just, I don't know, maybe he needs to go into the twos and just get some confidence back.
Just on Snelling, like he did have a relatively, compared to a lot of his teammates, decent game. Can we not use him as centre half forward? Like, I know he did take a mark on the lead, and I know we love kicking into him high when he's got an opponent on him, but at least don't do it when he has two opponents on him.
Yeah. And that happened, what, two or three times, right? I remember seeing it. I don't think I saw Wiedemann until just before half time. I'm like, is he even on the ground? Like, where are his running patterns when that's happening?
Do you remember that Mad Max? Do you remember Thunderdome?
Yeah.
There was the little guy. He was a dwarf, and he had the big guy. Called Master Blaster. Together, they were Master Blaster. And if only Snelling could sort of be in Wiedemann's head and tell him where to lead and run, they could be the Essendon's Master Blaster.
They could be.
Because Snelling clearly knows how to lead. Like, he's actually presenting, and that's probably why we're kicking it to him. He's the only guy.
Well, they should tell him not to fucking present, because he's about 2'3".
But no one else is doing it. So that's what we need. We need Snelling somehow communicating, you know, audibly with Wiedemann, and just no one pull out a whistle, because then Wiedemann will fall over.
No, well, maybe a set of handcuffs that you've got, or maybe, you know, somehow attach them together. Whenever Snelling runs, Wiedemann has to run with him.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
I reckon he's as much chance marking one-handed than, you know, because at the moment it'd be hitting him on the head, so.
Yeah. Anything else for the game?
Maybe for the game, next game, we'll play Jai Menzies from the start.
Oh, absolutely. And then we might
have some forward pressure for the whole game, as opposed. I think Jai did more in one quarter than what a lot of players did the whole game.
I mean, I think Menzies clearly is a better option as that small forward than the Prince of Perth, right? Who, you know, because he and Snelling can play a similar game, but at least Menzies got some goal sense.
Did Guelphy get off lightly, not being in the Hammond conversation?
That's why I mentioned him. He was unsighted. Langford, aside from having one or two shots, was unsighted, and that's been pretty unusual for the last 6 weeks. And I think I've already mentioned Jake Kelly, just to wind up Fiona.
After already giving Wiedemann the head of it. No, Kelly didn't have a great game.
Yeah, but look, we know he's missed a lot of footy. He got a knee to the head. But a lot of things just didn't go right. And, of course, Freo on the bounce from a pathetic effort playing at home. I mean, they're always going to come out and have a good crack. We know that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised with the result, to be fair.
All right. Well, let's move to Dish and Deity.
Okay. All right, so.
And is Winsock 2000? One of the douches for not turning up?
No.
A nomination, of course, yeah.
Oh, he's my nomination.
He can be nominated. My douche of the week is the AFL reporter that reported Essendon was changing their logo. it records a huge kerfuffle. I mean, it became a leading story on no news, but various football programs, front page of the Herald Sun on this. So I think to blow something completely out of proportion, I think it was Sam Lands. I don't know. He's blocked me. I think he broke the story on Sen, and everyone just went crazy over it. And we had some interesting logo designs from members. Some were pretty bad.
That was fun, actually, the logo lotto.
So the douche goes to the AFL reporter, and the deity.
Wait, can we pause there, please?
Yeah.
So I want to proffer an alternate view.
Mm.
He didn't just pull this out of thin air.
Mm.
And I know that, you know, it subsequently emerged Essendon's looking at the logo, not necessarily the moniker, the Bombers.
Mm.
But I question whether this was Essendon flying a kite. Just putting it out there. And I've got no problem. I came out, I think I had about 27 tweets on the matter. I was very, very firm in my view. Hands off. Like, I actually don't like the logo in its current form. I much preferred the mid-80s side plane, kind of retro plane. But that's beside the point. I think we had to come out strong. And so just Essendon Football Club just realised, just in case they were thinking about it, just in case some marketing manager who is head of marketing possibly but doesn't really follow the club that closely has any bright ideas, we need to come out and just put it back in its box. So I wonder whether the club did that.
Well, I thought about that, and this was what my deity was actually to Barham, a president, putting out, you know, like a 10-year anniversary, an open letter to members, like the good old days.
Paul Little style.
Yeah. It's like, and he wouldn't have needed to do that. Like, it sort of came out of, all right, this has got too far. Like, we need to just rein this in, and he sort of put it out and go, okay, just calm down, everyone. So the deity went to him bringing back the open letter and just basically just snuffing out the whole conversation, and, like, everyone's just moved on.
Solution, I think you're right, mate. Whether it was intended or unintended or whatever you want to say, the club's certainly been looking at the whole, just, you know, a refresh, right? But it's a whole project that takes 12 months, and absolutely, they just throw it out there, bit of kite flying, and they've got their answer.
Yeah. So I don't know if I give Barham that much credit for sniffing the wind.
And, or maybe I give it to Essendon in general, because we didn't even play game that week, and we were still front page.
I think that's more the point. As we're all saying, I think over Twitter, we weren't even playing, and we managed to get front page newspaper for, you know, news stories. We're like, how powerful is this club? Like, we're just going over playing.
Well, then maybe that was the genius of the marketing department, was putting it out there and getting a story. It's your douche. Sorry, and your deity, Christina. So don't be swayed.
Just going back to OG podcast, mate, I always thought the douche and deity were never football related.
On-field related. They've often been off-field related.
Okay.
I mean, how many times did Demetrio?
No, or Demetrio, yeah, but I thought we might have gone, you know, with the Russian oligarchs or something, or, you know, like.
Well, there's that, or the submarine, the makers of the submarine.
Yeah, I'm more of the Barack Obama's, you know, view of the 700 people who drowned off the coast of Greece, as opposed to the five very, very wealthy who, anyway, chose to go down and have a look at the Titanic.
Yeah, the other one I feel sorry for is the kid that didn't want to go.
Yeah, the kid who said he went because he wanted to keep his dad happy.
Oh, God. Well, we've got multiple douches and deities this week.
What did it cost? Was it like a quarter of a million bucks a ticket or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
Yeah. Get a refund on that ticket, you reckon? Because it was a return ticket.
Yeah, return. Too soon?
Too soon, possibly. Possibly.
I got someone tweeted, you might have seen it, as a result of that incident, I think Gina Reinhardt's gone up two places in the world's richest persons.
Yeah. God. That's another bad thing to happen as a result. But no, you're right, Christina. Multiple douches and deities. So we're back. The douche and deities back. In old podcast style. All right, so moving to next week. As I said, it's going to be a briefish podcast. Was yesterday just the post by don't worry about it, put in a locker, it's an aberration, or are there things that are going to become systemic issues or patterns. What do we think is going to happen next week?
Port Adelaide's coming off a bye.
Port Adelaide off a bye at the MCG.
See, we have a massive chance.
And interestingly, just the betting, Port Adelaide are fairly heavy favourites too. So, all right, correspondent, you start. What do you reckon? What's your prediction?
Well, mate, I'm going with the trends, your friend. They're coming off a bye. We're playing them, next Saturday night at the G. That's about it, mate. Trends, your friend. If we're going to beat them, that's how.
So what's your score prediction?
They'll probably win by 30.
Port? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not that stupid. Jesus.
Christina, what do you got?
Well, depends the players we get on the park, so whether Draper plays or not. Doesn't sound like he will, listening to Brad's press conference last night.
No, I'm very worried. Very worried.
Sorry,
I was just going to say, we should mention Phillips. He did try his guts out last night. Yeah. He made that howler. But, our second ruckman is an issue we need addressed.
And Peter Wright rucking is not.
That's not an option. No.
Oh, it was awful.
No. Awful.
But sorry.
Sam Wiedemann can ruck for a half a game. I mean, he might touch the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet on it.
No. But I think you're right, mate. We're if Draper doesn't play, as you said, Christina, we've got a few people out. Yeah, it's going to come down to injuries and lineups, whatever.
Yeah, and choosing the right players in the right roles and just getting that mix right, because we didn't get it right against Rio. So
is there a cloud over BZT with groin or something?
You'd think so.
I just said it was just tight. So who knows?
I don't believe anything the club says on injuries, which I don't mind, but they definitely keep their cards close to their chest.
Have they found James Stewart's foot yet?
Oh, his ankle's probably still in some rehab place getting a 3D printer.
He's on the horsey float, mate. That's where he is.
Yeah, I didn't listen to all of last week. Did you guys do a whole player review?
Fucking hell, mate. Can you just... I thought if you can at least listen to one podcast, you'd listen to the 10-year anniversary.
DJ put me to sleep when he kind of... Anyway. Now, I listened to the first 15 minutes, got sidetracked.
Christina, you were giving your score.
Yeah.
Go.
I really do want us to win, but there's too many unknowns at the moment, so it might just be a loss of, 12 points or something.
That's close.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say we'll win.
Well, then there you go, because you're right this week, so you'll be right next week.
I'm on fire. I've been picking. I've picked this correctly, I think, the last month.
Yep.
I think we'll win. I think one thing we know about Scott is he's shown an ability to be flexible, change things. He would have learnt from what worked and what didn't last week. I think we need some tweaks in the back line, midfield. We need to review the ruck situation, and I don't know. There's a good answer. There's an improvement on what we displayed against Fremantle. I think you'll change some things. And to your point, correspondent, trends your friend, the bye, bring it on. At the G, it'll be packed house.
Why are we playing them at the G? Not that I don't like that.
I don't know, but our last two games, there were Carlton and Richmond.
No, I'm happy. I love it. I love going there. I hate Marvel.
And it's a Saturday night too, so prime time game again.
Yeah, suddenly I write a song about being playing at 4:40 every week, and suddenly we're back in the good books. Time. Sorry, I'll just give my prediction. I'll say
win
15 points.
Okay,
Essendon.
If we're making some changes, if they want to bring in someone up forward that can actually have a crack. just put Paddy Voss in for a game. Just see how he goes.
Yeah.
Because he will run through someone.
Good.
It's such a shame about Lockie Hunter because I reckon he might have played. What was his name?
Jaden Hunter.
Lockie.
Yeah, again, mate, for the same reason that he's a guy who's played up forward and he plays like a forward, right? He leads, he marks, and, you know, it sounds pretty basic, but and Voss is only 19 or 20. He's got a long way to go, but, he goes in hard.
And a contest would be something that Wiedemann's barely...
Wiedemann just doesn't want a contest.
Yeah. It's almost cruel. Cruel to keep him in.
In that context, you could put Langford back, put Voss forward, and then, I don't know, Wiedemann like second ruck or something.
Can't be worse than what we saw.
I think for some reason it seems I don't know where did Langford play last night?
He was forward. And then when Zirk went down, Wiedemann actually went back.
Right.
In the last quarter.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so just before we close, a lot of feedback this week. Firstly, the OG podcast. A lot of people enjoyed that. So that, thanks for your feedback. Fiona's forecast sparked a bit of debate. Some people loved Fiona's couch. Some people didn't.
It was certainly surprising when we got to that bit.
Where do you stand, Christina, on the important topic of rabbit versus guinea pig? Which one would you... Do you have a view?
Guinea pig, 100%.
Why?
Rabbits just... The jumping and the fornicating, all that kind of stuff.
I thought you were going to say the jumping and the humping, just to keep it...
That would have been better. Correspondent, you got a view?
Oh, don't get me started. Anyone want free guinea pigs?
You tell me what life with guinea pigs is, mate, because we didn't have that view. We just had the rabbit. We just had the dishing of rabbits last week.
When I was a kid, we've had both, and now as a parent with a kid that has three guinea pigs, they're pretty much same. It's like owning a dog that nobody wants to walk.
That's do they do anything other than eat and shit and fuck?
No.
Okay.
You know,
to be fair, I know people that live similar lives.
Eat and drink.
Yeah, that's right.
It's only two of those three verticals.
Yeah. All right. Well, song of the week. So 2 weeks in a row, I've written a song. Suddenly I've got my creative juices back. Did you have a listen? And what's your view? So I should just say before you give that, I did Elton John's Daniel to Heppel.
My initial thoughts were it was a long intro.
I was trying to avoid having a sing.
Yeah, it was. I thought you'd done an instrumental for a minute. So.
I could do.
I thought it was pretty good, mate, but, yeah, it was a nice long intro. Got me in the mood.
Yeah. I didn't know the song at all, so it took me a while to get into it. Not one
like
of his more well-known.
Like 3 minutes?
Oh, do your favour. It is one of his great songs. You'd never know based on my my rendition. But Daniel is a classic. Yeah. Terrific song.
If Daniel wasn't dead, you murdered it, right?
Yeah, that's right. I did. All right. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. Check out the OG podcast. Check out Fiona's forecast. We've got so much content coming at you. You're honestly getting so much bang for your buck, given that everything's free.
Yeah, that's
right. And, hopefully we have a much better showing next week. Get along to the G, support the team, and go Bombers.
Go Dons.
Go Bombers.
Fremantle game, oh, when I can see Hipple's flag chances waving goodbye. God, I feel for Hipple. Must be the tears in my eyes. Oh, Hipple, my brother, you are older than me. Do you still feel the pain of the years of being crap? Your eyes have died. Perth umpires, they have lied. Hipple, winning a final is a dream that may have died. They say Perth is shitty, though I've never been. Well, Hipple says it's the worst place he's ever been. Oh, and he should know he's been there enough. If they ask you to go back next year, Hipple, tell them to get stuffed. Oh, Hipple, my brother, you are older than me. Do you still feel the pain of the years of being crap? Your eyes have died. Perth umpires, they have lied. Hipple, your chances of winning a final may just have died.